Right, let's turn to Revelation chapter number 1 tonight. Revelation chapter number 1, and then I want you to turn over to Psalms 138 for a companion scripture. I appreciate you standing to the reverence of the Word of God. And you know, we do that not so much out of habit, but out of respect for the Word of God. God said that's what He placed above His throne, and the Lord extols it, and so we should extol it as God's people. Amen. Amen. All right, Revelation 1, look in verse number 9. I, John, who am also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, turn back to Psalms 138. Psalms 138, I'll give you a second to turn there. And verse number 7 and verse number 8. Psalms 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercies, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Father, we thank you for letting us publicly read the Word of God. Thank you, dear Lord, for the freedoms that we still enjoy in this country. We thank you for letting us take advantage of that by assembling ourselves together in the house of God. Lord, I do plead the blood of Jesus over every ear that might hear this word that goes out. Lord, even you said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach. If you, being the sinless Son of God, had to have the anointing, how much more do I, fallen creature of Adam? Lord, I pray you'd quicken us according to your loving kindness, lead us into the land of uprightness. Lord, minister to every heart, save the lost, help the backslid to be restored. God, revive and strengthen your people. Lord, get glory to yourself and honor to your blessed name. And we give you honor for anything that's accomplished and done in a spiritual way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this thought, revival on the Isle of Patmos. Revival on the Isle of Patmos. Now, John the Beloved pastored the church at Ephesus. I've been there to the old Ephesian village. Mary is buried there. You know, Jesus commanded John to take care of Mary, Jesus' mother. And he did so, and she was there with him in Ephesus whenever he pastored. And later, that's where she died and she was buried at. And Brother John had a fruitful ministry. Of course, God used Paul to start that church. Timothy pastored that church. And then later on, Brother John pastored that church in his old age. And one day, John is preaching the word of God, and the Roman government came down upon him and said, listen, there is no Lord but Caesar. There is no king but Caesar. And John says, I cannot but preach that which I have seen and that which I have heard, Jesus Christ is Lord. And they said, well, John, you're going to either have to stop preaching this or we're going to banish you from our kingdom. And Brother John refused to quit preaching the lordship and the kingship of Jesus Christ. So they held a kangaroo court and they sentenced him to be banished to the isle which is called Patmos. They put him on the boat, and by the way, the dock was right behind the church at Ephesus. The old ruins are still there. The ocean has receded like 5 miles, but the dock was there right behind the church at Ephesus. It was like building the church next to a bus station, and they were able to reach the Roman kingdom from that very port. And they put John on one of those ships, and they sent him out into the Aegean Sea some 65 nautical miles away. They threw him off that ship. They said, drown, sink, or swim, live or die. We don't care. You're out of our hair. You're out of our society, John. We're done with you. And as John's on that rock pile and looking at that ship as it goes out of sight and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, he looks around and all he sees is water in every direction. He's on an island. There's no escape. He's been placed there by the Roman government. But you know, the Bible tells us how that John, even though he was on the Isle of Patmos, had a revival in his soul. And that revival is recorded in Revelation chapter number 1. Now the psalmist said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, there will revive my soul. And I'm glad, thank God, though you may be walking in the midst of trouble, you don't have to get down and out discouraged and lose your joy of salvation, but you can have a revival like John did. Now, he was on that Isle of Patmos, the Bible says, number one, for the Word of God. And if you stand for the Word of God, you're going to wind up on some islands, some isolated places, because of the Word of God. And you say, thus saith the Lord, this woke crowd, which is the sleeping crowd, they're not woke, they're dead in trespasses and sin. They're going to unfriend you on Facebook. They're going to de-Twitter you on Twitter. And they're going to push you out of their social clubs and stiff-arm you and begin to slander you and push you aside simply for what the Word of God says. You don't have to be a Pharisee. You don't have to be arrogant and proud and a smart aleck. You just stand for the Word of God, and I promise you, there's going to be an Isle of Patmos waiting on you, because, not for you, but because of the Word. And Jesus reminded his disciples, it's not because of who you are, it's because of who I am in you. And as they hated me, they're going to hate you for my name's sake. And the Lord Jesus said, if they've done this to me in a green tree, what will they do to you in a dry? What he was saying, the tree's green, the fruit's there, the foliage is on. They've seen me take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men plus the women and children. They beheld as lepers come lining up saying, give us our clean leprosy certificate because Jesus had made us whole. Blind men are now seeing and praising God. Dead people have been raised, and Lazarus, it was a notable miracle there. And he said, this is the green tree, and if they crucified me when all these things were right in front of them, what's going to happen when you get on down the road 2,000 years and it's a dry tree and they've forgotten all those things? He said, you just beware, they're going to persecute you just like they persecuted me. Now, we've had a real reprieve, and God's been merciful to us in America for a long time. But there are a lot of folk around the world that think they're in the Great Tribulation right now. In the Muslim communities and even in the Hindu communities in India, we've got people dying on the right hand and the left. Over in Sudan, there are villages that have been murdered. And we find during all of this wars in the Middle East, there have been villages literally that have been killed and slain and buried in mass graves. But nobody in our government seems to be saying anything about that, just because they're Christians, you know. And it'd been anybody else, oh, they'd thrown a real fit. But no, just because it's Christians, they just let it slide and go under the table. But I'm afraid that some things are going to come on this country if we don't see a revival and we don't see a move of God that we're going to have to face in this hour. And we'll face it for the Word of God's sake. And then he also said, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And you being a Christian, you've got a testimony of who Jesus is and what he means to you. Well, because of all that, John got placed on this island. Now, you'll be on islands before your life is over with as a believer. You'll be on maybe islands of physical suffering. A lot of folk have had health, and then suddenly something happens. The heart fails them, or maybe their kidneys, or maybe 10,000 other things come their way, and they've been able to get out and go and work and do, but now they're confined to home, and there are people watching and listening right now by way of internet that physically cannot come to the house of God. And I know people that will pull that up, and they'll sit there and they'll feed on that. And thank God for the means that we have to be able to do that. But if you've got strength and 2 legs and brains and body and transportation, and you can get over here to the house of God, you need to get over here and be a part of the assembly of the firstborn of God's people, and not forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. But we got folk that are in the hospital. We got people that are in the rest home. We got people that are at home, and they would love to get here, but they're on an island. Sometimes it's a physical island of suffering. Sometimes it's a social island. I remember when I got saved, I thought everybody was going to be thrilled to death that I got right with God. First fella I met was my buddy James. He's coming down Green River Road. I was going up. We met in the curve. I rolled down my window and I said, "Hey, James, guess what happened to me last night?" He said, "What?" I said, "I got saved." He said, "Huh." He stomped it, and I didn't see him for another 2 years. He dodged me every way you could dodge somebody. But you know what? He got saved later on. He's pastoring a Baptist church right now. Hallelujah. But I thought everybody'd be glad, but no, it's like when you turn the light on, cockroaches run everywhere. Men love darkness rather than light, and when you've got the light of Jesus in you, it's not that you've got bad odor or bad breath or you've done anything. It's just because there's a radiant light, and every time they look at you, they say, "Oh, no," and they get under conviction, and they want to dodge that. Sometimes it will be a social island that you're on. But then sometimes, my friend, it'll be a financial island. You think about it, how they gave that guy that promotion that's nothing more than a drunk and all that. But he'll drink with the boss man. He'll run around and get in trouble with him. But you won't do that. You've took your stand. And so though you've been there longer, though you deserve that position, they'll give it to somebody else. Just because you're a Christian, you get bypassed and you find yourself a lot of times suffering because of the fact that you love the Lord. You get on all of these islands. Sometimes it's just a spiritual, emotional island. It's not that you can lay your finger on anybody or anything, but boy, there's oppressions and depressions that are poured out on you, and there's darkness that falls upon you so thick that it can be felt. And you walk through long valleys and in the midst of trouble, as the psalmist said, and you think, "Man, am I ever going to get out of this?" Well, God can revive you even in the midst of trouble. And let's look at old brother John in chapter number 1 of Revelation. This is the things that John saw on the Isle of Patmos. And when it seemed like he ought to have been sitting on that rock pouting and doubting and discouraged and saying, "God, where are you at and why am I here?" Instead, we read about a great revival in chapter number 1 of the book of Revelation. I want you to go back, if you will, in verse number 5. And see what the Lord said. He said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But verse 5, he said, "And from Jesus Christ." Now, when John was banished to the Isle of Patmos, and people sent him letters from all over Rome, they were getting their letters back. "Sorry, no longer at this address, no forwarding address available." They couldn't get a letter to him. They couldn't get out there and talk to him. John was isolated. There wasn't any telephones or there wasn't any satellite networks. John was isolated out there and nobody can get a word to him. Sometimes you feel like nobody can get a word to you. You might sit in a service, you might have somebody talk to you, but you just feel like maybe they don't understand or they can't comprehend where you're at. I was down in Eastern North Carolina one time and I was with a good friend of mine. Brother mentioned him this morning, Brother Bill Knowles. Brother Bill Knowles was a real blessing. He's in heaven now. We're sitting in a truck about 6 o'clock in the morning getting ready to turn the dogs loose. And Brother Bill told me about some troubles and things that he was going through. And I was just a young fella and I looked at him and I said, "I understand, brother." He looked at me as an older man. He said, "No." He said, "You don't know what I'm going through." I said, "You're exactly right. I don't. But I do know one that does know what you're going through. And I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know how to speak to you, but I know one that can get to you." And old brother John said, Jesus declared, "This is from him, from Jesus Christ." God can get to you, and God can speak to you, and God can help you when nobody else can. And when he gets that word from Jesus, my, it starts a stirring in John's soul and a revival in his heart. Notice, from Jesus. And if you're in a place of trouble, if you're on an island tonight, you just whisper that name, Jesus. Yes. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all that's embodied in that name.
For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it's all about Jesus and we worship Him. And then he said it's from Jesus Christ, Christ, the Messiah, the fulfiller of all the Old Testament scriptures, the one who came according to the Word of God. John, this is no accident. I'm not just giving you some things that man has given. This is the ordained plan and person and purpose of God. You got to remember who I am. I am Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, I'm the first begotten, the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. John, I'm a faithful witness. And you remember, and John penned this down, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. You know, the saying is, Mama told me there'd be days like this. Well, Jesus told you and me there'd be days like this. And yet when it happens, we think it's a strange thing. But Simon Peter said, think it not strange concerning fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not odd. It's not strange. It's common to all God's people. And he says, I've been a faithful witness to you, John. And then he said, I'm the first begotten of the dead. I conquered death, hell, and the grave. But you remember, he's the first begotten of the dead. And how did he die? Did he die with doctors about him? On a feather down mattress with the best medicines that men could give? No. He died upon the cross of Calvary in the most cruel death that they could sentence a human being to. And you think you're going through it? You haven't been through anything that Jesus has not already been through. And if you look around, you'll find his footprints that he's left some grace and handfuls of mercy along the way. He is a faithful and a merciful high priest, and he will minister to your heart. And then he goes on to tell John that I am the prince of the kings of the earth. I'm sure the devil told him, John, get down and out. There's no revival on the Isle of Patmos because now where's your God? Jesus said, I'm where I've always been. I'm the prince of the kings of the earth. You know, as you go down through Ephesus, on the right-hand side where the old baths were at, there is a beam, and on that beam it's written in Greek, and I didn't know what it said, but I looked, and on top of that is a big stone ball and just the foot that's left. This guide came walking up about that time and pointed to that and told her people that she was with, said, now that was a statue of the Roman emperor. And it says on that beam that Trajan was the Lord over all the earth, and he had his foot on that ball. They knew the earth was round way back then. But you know what? That Roman emperor statue was gone. But in Ephesians chapter number 1, God reminds us that Jesus is Lord over all the earth. Rulers come and rulers go. John, where's your Jesus now? Oh, he's still king. He's still in charge. John didn't know why he was going to the Isle of Patmos or what God had in mind. We know now. We've got the book of Revelation, and we see God put him out there on a vacation so he could receive this and write this down for us. John didn't know that, but Jesus said, I want you to know something. It doesn't look like it. I'm still king, and I'm in charge. I don't know about you, but that's helped me with all that's coming on our society. This pandemic was a plandemic. Amen. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, he said, they're going to have gay pride month and marches, and it's going to be just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like prior to my coming. While we've said here in the White House, our president has had all of these perverted people come up there and magnify and exalt and uplift that. And he said about you that believe the Bible, that if you didn't participate in that, that you were the virulent dregs of society, the bottom of the scum of the barrel of booze that they throw out to the hogs. That's what you are in his sight. And when they do all of these things right here in front of our eyes, it used to be off somewhere way off, but now it's among us. You know what the Lord says to me? He said, I pegged it. I told you. as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He's not the author of it, but he sure told us how it was going to be. And when these things come upon us, and you go there to 2 Timothy 2, and you read about the days of the last days, you realize and understand, according to Jude, that that's where we're at. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you these signals. You better prepare and be ready to go out, because I am coming again.
Amen. Hallelujah. He said, yes, I'm still in charge. And by the way, he's still in charge. They may think they're moving around all the parts on the chessboard, but Jesus has already got them in checkmate. Amen. Glory to God, before they ever move, he's already outmoved them. Before they ever think, he's already outthought them. And my friend, it's all going to come together just exactly like he said. Hallelujah. And when you're on an Isle of Patmos, you better be running to this fact. Jesus is the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. And then he goes on to tell John, he said, you know, unto him that loved us, I love you, John. And when you're on one of these islands, one thing that'll revive your soul is just remember that Jesus loves me. And it's not a daisy love. You know what a daisy love is, don't you? You know, you young fellas are in love with that gal, and you get you a daisy, and you say, she loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. And then it says, she loves me not. Throw that away, get another daisy, and start all over again. You know, that's how all that goes. Well, I'm glad, thank God, his love is an everlasting love. You get to concentrating on how much he loved you in the midst of trouble and on your Isle of Patmos, and it will revive your soul. I was down in the island of Antigua preaching there at Gray's Farm, and that's not the side where all the tourists are at and all the cruise ships are at. It's the other side of the island. A lot of drug dealers and prostitutes and gangs and all that stuff. We had a tent going on there. And one day, Miss Johnson, who was Pastor Johnson's wife, said, Randy, would you like to come and preach at the insane asylum in the morning? I said, well, I preached in Baptist churches all these years. I guess I can come preach in an insane asylum. So next morning, they came by and picked me up. We went over there on these grounds. They got a big old ground there and got facilities and all for these folk. And as we drove up, I seen them. They were pulling bugs out of the air, and they were doodling and slobbering and doing stuff that insane folk do. And when we got out, this fella come running up to Miss Johnson and handed her a red book of about 400 pages. And he said to her, I said, bye, bye. I said, I've done memorized this one. Get me another one. Get me another one. I love the poetry. And she said, how about quoting a little of it? He said, well, on page 136, it says, blah, 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 blah. He had a photographic memory. And then he looked at me, and she said, that's enough. That's enough. He looked at me, and he said, bye, bye. He said, I went to Harvard to get a PhD, and I come out with insanity, insanity, insanity. I said, yes, sir. Well, we went over there to the pavilion, and they gathered all them folk up, and then we sang a few songs, and then they asked me to preach. And I'm preaching along, and you know what they were doing? There's a doodling and pulling bugs out of there and slobbering and talking and everything else. It just wasn't going nowhere. God put it in my heart, and I started singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen. For the Bible tells me so. And about that time, every eye in that whole auditorium looked at me, and they started singing that song with me. And they sung the entire song of Jesus Loves Me. We sung all the verses to that. And they never missed the beat. And it was just like sanity hit that crowd for just that space of time and that moment. And I thought, my, 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 if the devil's trying to drive you crazy, you might ought to get your mind on the love of God. And you know that song, The Love of God, the last stanza they said was written on an insane asylum of a man said to be demented. But boy, he was thinking about God's love. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. And boy, when you get to thinking about him loving you with his everlasting love, and he cared about you when you didn't care about yourself, hallelujah, that'll help you on your Isle of Patmos, and it might even revive you in the midst of trouble. And just because you're going through hard things does not govern whether he loves you or he don't love you. He loves you at all times. Hallelujah. So old brother John, he's telling him now, unto him that loved us, then unto him that washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Thank you, Lord.
And how many times has the devil told you this when you're on an Isle of Patmos? Yeah, God's getting even with you. Something happened way back yonder now. God's finally got you cornered up. He's getting even with you. And I know there's chastisement. I know there's God dealing with us if we get out of whack. You may not discipline your children, but he will discipline his children. But John, you're not here because you're under chastisement. You're here because I got a divine purpose and a divine plan. Friend, there are many a child of God that never know a day without suffering and without hardships. And somebody said, well, if you just had faith. Well, Paul had faith. He had a thorn in the flesh. And he said, God, would you remove it? No. God, would you remove it? No. Fast and pray. God, please. God said, no, no, no. It's health and wealth, nabbit and blabbit. Crowd's going to have to apologize to Paul. Amen. You commit your soul unto him as unto a faithful creator if you're going through that time of trouble. And if you've been washed in the blood, praise God, your sins are gone. And God treats you as a child. You're no longer under condemnation, no longer under judgment. But praise God, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You ask me why I'm happy? Because my sins are gone. Amen. Well, then verse 6 says, he'd made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And how many times has the devil jumped on you on the Isle of Patmos and said, hey, you're nothing. You're a second-rate citizen. If here's anything, this wouldn't be happening to you. And the Lord said, let me give you a word to revive your soul, John. John, you're a king. Oh, they treat you as an outcast in the off-scour of society and have kicked you out. But I want to remind you something, John. You are a king. And you're a king because you're the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as God's children, you are royalty in the sight of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall come, thank God, things are going to change. When God's kings come walking down Hallelujah Boulevard, amen. And then he said, John, you're a priest. When you get in the midst of trouble and on an island like this, the devil say, no need in praying. And boy, sometimes you just feel like I can't pray. But I want you to know you're a priest. They can cut your tongue out, but you can still pray. Amen. They can put you in a prison where nobody can even hear, but our God can hear. We've got a line to heaven through the precious blood of Jesus that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And a lot of times when you don't feel like praying, that's when you can get closer to God. I was down in Brazil. We had a 52-foot boat that we took way up the Amazon. We slept in hammocks and stayed on that boat. And we were docked there one day at this village, Alligator Village it's called. And it was in the middle of the day, and in the middle of the day, nobody does nothing. It's so hot. Sort of like the Mexicans, you take a siesta, and we're just all laying around in the hammocks, reading our Bible, getting ready for the service that night and to do some visiting that evening. And as we're laying there, everybody's real quiet. This little child goes to crying up in the village. And he just crying and crying. You could tell it was something was going on. Every lady on that boat, there were husbands and wives, there's a good team. Every one of them come running up to the side of that boat listening and looking and seeing what's going on. Because that little babe in trouble made that cry. And those mother's hearts said, oh, I want to help that child. Well, the Bible says that as God's children, we are to cry, Abba, Father. And boy, when a baby cries, that mother's going to go to that baby. And that mother's going to help that child. And when you cry out as a child of God on your Isle of Patmos, you can mark it down. He is able to succor them that call upon his name. And succor means to run when called for. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, I'll be there. I will help you. I won't forsake you in the time of trouble, but I will be there. Amen. Boy, old brother John gets into it now.
in verse 6, he says, well, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. He gets an amen revival on the Isle of Patmos. And he says, to him be glory, to him be dominion. Praise be to his name. John's getting stirred up in his soul. And you can too on your Isle of Patmos if you'll think about God's redeeming program. But then look in verse number 7.
Something else stirred him up to revival. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen.
John, let me give you another word that'll revive you on your Isle of Patmos. John, it's not always going to be like it is right now. I will return.
Now, the Lord gives us the two phases of his return in this one verse. He said, first of all, I'll come with clouds. And we know in Thessalonians, he said he would come in the clouds, and the trump of God would sound, and the dead in Christ would rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to be with the Lord. And that is called the rapture of the church. That word caught up is where we get the word rapture from. And some folks say, well, I don't believe in the rapture because the word rapture is not in the Bible. You realize the word Bible is not in the Bible either? But you believe that, don't you? Amen. The doctrine of it, the truth of it is right there. And by the way, every true doctrine in the New Testament is going to find its counterpart and types in the Old Testament. And there are two raptures in the Old Testament. One of them is Enoch, who walked with God and he was not. Bible scholars say, well, that just means that, you know, he went missing. Well, God tells us in Hebrews 11 that he was translated, that he should not see death. And there's your word rapture again, whoosh, that fast. God said, it's closer to my house than it's yours today, so come on home. And then Elijah. And by the way, Enoch was translated out before the flood. And then another type is Elijah. And the chariot of fire came and got him, and whoosh, out of this old world he went. And you know what? He's translated out before the captivity. And I believe with all my heart the church is going to be translated out before the great tribulation. And there's a lot of other reasons. We don't have time to get into all that. But praise God, he said, John, I'm coming with clouds. It's going to happen. If I go away, I will come again. Don't you give up on hope. You say, well, we're going into the seventh millennium, and you know, God worked 6 days, and on the seventh he rests. Why has he not come yet? Have you not thought about the long-suffering of God? The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah 120 years. It didn't take them 120 years to build that ark up here in Kentucky. I mean, just a few years they did that. Noah probably could have, but God slowed the program down because of his long suffering. And you know, when God came and the wrath fell, it was over. And when it's over, it's over. And when the Lord comes, there's going to be a lot of folk left behind. There's going to be a lot of folk turned over to a mind that's going to snap and blow because they did not receive the love of the truth. They'll be damned into believing a lie. And it's going to be an awful time of anguish upon this earth. And when it comes, it's going to come, and it'll be a final thing. And I want to say, my friend, I believe God just being long-suffering. Maybe for somebody right here in this audience, maybe for somebody out there in the cyber world, for you to get saved. How long is he going to wait? I don't know, but I wouldn't chance it. The Lord said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And he said, be ye also ready. John, it's not always going to be like it is. I'm coming back for my people. And what a blessed hope that is for God's little children. Amen. But then secondly, he says, here's the second part of my coming. I'm going to come and every eye shall see me. And they also which pierced him shall, all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. That's Revelation 19. In Revelation 4:1, he said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must come to pass. And you don't read about the church till Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back on a great white horse with the armies of heaven marching back with him. And that's his church, his people. Amen. I hear somebody say, well, that white horse just a figure of speech.
I like what Ralph Sexton Sr. used to say. You can ride in on a figure of speech if you want to. I'm coming back on a white horse. Hallelujah. I take it where it's literal. It says it's literal. And I take it figurative where it's figurative. Amen. And Jesus is going to return to the valley of Jezreel. He's going to stomp the devil till blood runs to the horse's bridle. He'll split the Mount of Olives asunder. He'll uncover the riches of the earth. He'll set up the throne of David. Hallelujah. And for 1,000 years he will rule and reign upon this earth. So I said, well, that's figurative. He says it 5 times, 1,000 years. How many times you want him to say it? Amen. Amen. And that's literal years. He's coming back. And then after that, the new heaven and the new earth. Boy, we got something to look forward to. Amen. Hey, it's not going to always be like it is. Oh, that world's planning on it, going on and on and on and progressively getting weird. But praise God, God's going to put an end to that one of these days, and we're going to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Amen. So John's getting revived in his soul. You know what he says? In verse number 7, he said, even so, amen. I'm in full agreement with that, Lord. You know, the Bible says, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. If you're really looking for Jesus to come, I believe it'll put a purification process in your soul. Amen. Preacher Lawson, if you looked around and you just picked one of these families here and you told one of these precious ladies, all right, we're coming over to your house, me and the preacher and his wife and my wife, we're coming to your house and we'll be there in just a little bit. I've seen it happen. Honey, you ride with them. I'm going on. You know why? I'd run off and left some dishes in the sink and some dirty socks in the laundry and all of that. You know, I need to spruce up around there and take care, because somebody's coming to my house. I'm going to take care of the... Well, if you know Jesus is coming, I believe you're going to want a clean house and prepare and get ready for his return. Amen. And that'll revive your soul. That'll help you. But then I want you to look a little further in Revelation. The Bible says there in verse number 10, this is after he tells us he's in that Isle of Tribulation and that Isle of Patmos. He said, now, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Guess what? Though there wasn't a church building there, old John kept up with the days of the week. And he said, when Sunday rolled around, I knew my folk at the church at Ephesus is going to be praying, and folk all over Asia's going to be praying for me, and said, you know what? I'm going to worship God on the Lord's day. Aren't you glad there's a Sunday?
Yes.
Cease your business. Cease the world. Stop all this stuff. Come on to the house of God. Bathe in the word of God. Sing the songs of God. Worship to the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I need to spend quality time with my kids. You won't find any better quality time than having them right here under the good word of our God. You brought them into this world, you get them ready for the next world, and the way you do that is get them seated under the word of God and spend good quality time here. John got in the Holy Ghost on the Lord's day. Maybe he crawled in there by one of those rocks and said, oh Lord, I worship thee and I want to thank you for your loving kindness. And then he heard something behind him and he turned around to see what was behind him, and he said it was like a trumpet. And he said, when I turned to see, in verse number 12, and I want you to read this with me. What a description, what a revival Brother John had in his time of trouble as the Lord revealed himself unto him. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Yes.
Now John had seen him on this earth 3.5 years, leaned his head on his bosom. He was close to the Lord Jesus. But this is resurrection Christ. This is resurrection glory. And he's seeing him like he's never seen him before. John said, when I saw that, I fell at his feet as a dead man. But he laid his right hand upon me, and he said to me, fear not, I am the first and the last.
I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Now you write the things. Write the things. Here, I'm reviving you. I've got a purpose for you, John. You get up off your face and start writing down what I'm going to give you. You know those songs in that hymn book? Most of them were written on a spiritual Isle of Patmos. Amen. It is well with my soul. Man, what an island he was on. I must tell Jesus. That lady was on a spiritual island there. And on it goes. God said, it's not over with John. And he ministered to him and manifested himself to him. And he put peace in his heart. And when peace like a river attendeth my way, though sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He had a revival on his Isle of Patmos, Brother Spafford did, and you can have one on your Isle of Patmos if you're just draw nigh to Jesus. And he said, you draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. And one word, and by the way, he's the resurrected Lord. He's alive. We're not serving a dead Buddha. We're not worshiping a dead Mohammed. We're not following some dead leader. Hallelujah. I preached in Israel one time and they examined me coming back out for nearly an hour. And I was there single by myself. I went in and out and they said, what'd you do here? I said, well, I've seen a lot of things in Israel. I said, where'd you go? I said, well, I went to the Mount of Olives. I said, what'd you see there? I said, it overlooks the city, but that's where Jesus is coming back. That lady said, well, what'd you do then? I said, I walked down through the valley and I walked up through the city and I went over by Gethsemane. What was there? I said, olive trees where Jesus prayed till his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. She said, what'd you do then? I said, I went up to the northern side and I viewed that hill called Calvary. What was there? I said, there's a Muslim graveyard there. But I said, that's where Jesus hung and bled and died. She said, where'd you go then? I said, I went right around the corner to the garden tomb. She said, what'd you see there? I said, I didn't see nothing because he's risen from the dead, praise God, and he lives forevermore, hallelujah. And I want to say, when you get to worship in the resurrected Lord, he's alive. And we have the communion of the Holy Ghost, and we have the fellowship with a living person. We'll break up camp and go our different ways, but you can get in your automobile and you can worship him, and he will come to you and he will minister to your heart and he will speak to you and he will let you know that, hey, I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm alive. And he's promised his presence to all of his people. Boy, one word from him brings a peace. Fear not, for I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And he said, I've got the keys. The devil don't have the keys. I've got the keys. I open and no man shuts. I shut and no man opens. John, you're here right now because I want you to be here. And I'm going to help you through this and give you something that'll be help to a whole lot of other people. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I do know this. If you're God's child, God's got a plan, a purpose. He's going to minister to you and he's going to mature you. He's going to give you something that'll be a blessing and a help to somebody else. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, the psalmist said, thou wilt revive me. That's been a process down through the ages that often when we're in trouble, don't you get down and out, because God's got a purpose that's beyond our troubles and beyond our trials, and he will minister to you in that place if you just won't get bitter. And you'll look to him and say, God, just help me. And the Lord will help you like he did Brother John. Hallelujah. Do you need a revival on your Isle of Patmos? Let's stand all over the house. You write the thing.